Nope. I was going to try to draw you a picture, but I can't find the markers. Did you take them? I knew. Okay, let's see. 2 Corinthians 7, Galatians 5, James 1, and Romans 13. Got a law? That was about a tenth of what I gave this morning. Yeah. Okay, Galatians 5, verse 1, and then 2 Corinthians 3, first. That's in, New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3. Okay, I hope you don't think this is a drag. I hope we realize that this is a scriptural thing to do, but I'm going to give the birthright of the United States of America. And so when we understand our lawful position as people in this country, then we can act a little bit differently. And so when you see a police officer, you realize that you are over him. Okay, you are the master, he is the servant. And so you must help them to understand that in a polite Christian way so that you can still witness to this man. That's our goal. His soul is more important than the Constitution. Tell that to a bunch of patriots. Okay, so next week, after we go through this week, next week, show you how to deal with somebody who thinks they're a public official, like Child Protection Services, or a police officer, or an animal enforcement officer. You know, if they want to come tell you you don't like the way you got your dogs, or you got to get a license for your dog because he intends to drive. How to handle those things. And the vast majority of the times, it should help you. Really should help you to prevent problems. And that's our goal. There's a couple in Kentucky right now going through court, Child Protection Services, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody don't go to jail. Mommy. I'd really be surprised if this don't happen on this one. And the dad was foolishness enough to allow the Child Protection Services to interview each of his children out of his presence. And so they have no lawful right to do that. And so hopefully this will help us understand some things. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book. And Lord, many of the preachers help found this country, or at the beginning of this country, preach these things regularly. And Lord, we have come so far away. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to see the great heritage that we have been given in our country. And so much of it has been eroded away, but Lord, give us wisdom to know when we yield, when to yield, and when to stand. And Lord, we also realize that the highest calling is pleasing thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, I obviously understand when we read this, the liberty that the Bible is talking about here is spiritual liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17, this verse you'll find in the Indianapolis Star on the front page every day. And it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. For we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." But we're looking at liberty. Hopefully we all understand here that this is talking about the spiritual liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Okay, but we're still going to look at it from a national viewpoint. Okay, the other place, Galatians 5, verse 1. Thank you, sir. You can go ahead and pass them out, just as long as they don't cheat and look at them. Yeah, go ahead and pass it on. Okay, Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage." Again, another example that this is dealing with spiritual liberty. But the national liberty that we have is often a parallel with the spiritual liberty. Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Okay, so the liberties we have, we should use them for the glory of God. Many people died for the liberties we have, and so we should use them for the glory of God, not for our own self-righteous means. James chapter 1, verse 25. Liberty is a great word, wonderful word. But just because a congressman or a senator will use those words, or presidents who think they want to be presidents use the word liberty, that doesn't mean they mean the same thing you and I think. James 1:25. Okay, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now here, notice perfect law of liberty. The liberties in any nation are a byproduct of the major religion in that nation. Okay, it's a byproduct. When you have pure faith, you have prosperous freedoms. So look at any nation that has Islam as its religion, and you will see they will not have liberties. Go to any Catholic country, and you will see they will not have very many liberties. It'll be a socialist community, and it'll be often a very poor community. It's because of the faith, the religion. Now, in our country, Christianity was the established religion. I forgot my Supreme Court case at home. Okay, and if you read this one Supreme Court case, if you've never read a Supreme Court case, I'll give you one to read, and it shows the foundation of our nation. It's 1894 case, 1892, I think. And this case was cited again by the Supreme Court in 1980 somewhere. And so both of those cases, the Supreme Court said, this is a Christian nation. And then he gave several examples, looked at many of the constitutions. Okay, so where do you and I stand? Okay, remember last week I said that you cannot fight City Hall, but you can fight the people in City Hall. And I'll show how that can be done. I said last week also that the government does not do anything wrong, and I truly believe that. But there are agents who act in the stead of the government that have unlawful behavior. I also said last week that if you do not raise an objection, you have no objection. Make sure you raise a verbal objection. Okay? And at all times, just verbally tell the guy, I don't appreciate what you're doing. I object to what you're doing. I object to this. I object to that. Never touch a man, because you realize if you touch somebody, that's assault. If you trip and bump into a police officer, that's an assault. Do not touch anybody. And as soon as they touch you, just say, I think you've just assaulted me. As soon as they touch you. Okay, that's an assault. Okay, and so if you don't raise an objection, you don't have an objection. Now, our objection throughout history has been known as redress of grievances. Redress of grievances, meaning you're going to appeal to the authority over you, tell them your complaints, and ask them to please consider me. That's basically all you're doing. And if they don't, well, tough apples. Okay, and then there's times you must realize you should accept the reproach for Christ, and then other times take action of justice. Last week I mentioned a book entitled The Law by Frederick Bastiat. Okay, if you've never read that, you can read it off the internet. The whole thing, it's a very short book. Please read that. That should be required reading in all public schools. Okay, make sure you get that book, and you get it right off the internet. Just type up The Law, maybe -Bastiat, and it will come up on any website. And then it's a very small book, very short book, so it's a very easy read, but he gives some great, very simplification of what the law is. Last week I went through seven phases of the history of the Commonwealth of Israel. Okay, so this week, the birthright of the United States of America in its liberties. After the Constitution was established, somebody asked Ben Franklin what kind of government you gave us, and he said, we gave you a republic if you can keep it. Okay, just as we know that the Bible was inspired, a Bible that's not inspired, if it's not preserved, it is no good. So we not only believe in inspiration, but preservation. Okay, and salvation is the same way. Salvation is no good if it's not preserved. Of course, we have the eternal security. Okay, and the same goes with liberty. Liberty without preservation is nothing more than slavery. That's all it is. Okay, now Romans 13 verse 1 was a place I went to last week where we are to be subject to the higher powers. I showed you last week all the new Bibles, NASV, NIV, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, even the New King James Bible said, obey the governing authorities. That's what they all say. I showed last week that the seven phases of Israel, we see that in the Bible, that if our governing authority is giving us a command that is direct contrary to the Bible, then we are to obey the higher power, and that's God. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or better known as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay, they obeyed God rather than Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel obeyed God rather than Darius the Mede. Mordecai obeyed God rather than Haman, the second in command. You have the midwives of Egypt obeying God rather than Pharaoh. I mean, it's all through there. Moses' parents, okay, so that's obviously we're not to be blind followers of any human authority. Okay, now the serpent of slavery is a very subtle thing. I would say the first clown or the first crook or the first guy that I really don't like, and I just subtly want to give you my opinion of this low-life snake, would be Abraham Lincoln. Okay, now there are a couple books coming out. One is out called The Real Lincoln. Some university professor has exposed Abraham Lincoln. And this is just a very recent one. He's writing another one that's pretty decent. You title in a search engine, The Real Lincoln. Okay, the U.S. Supreme Court said in Boyd versus United States, it may be that it is the obnoxious thing in its mildest and least repulsive form, but illegitimate and unconstitutional practices get their first footing in that way, namely by silent approaches and slight deviations from legal modes of procedure. Now, that big, long phrase basically saying they're not going to come right up in your face and say, I'm going to take your rights from you, but what they're going to do is, would you please stand over here when I want to stand here? Now, if I can stand over here and still do some street preaching, I'll do that, comply, but basically the slow process, and that's what the Supreme Court's saying. It may not appear. And another case said the average American tries to follow the law. They don't realize that some of the law isn't really the law. Okay, so I'll give you another case for that. President James Madison said, I believe that there are more instances of the abridgment of freedom of the people by a gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. And that's true. That's true. Okay, and so here are the stages of the United States, of America, the history. If you get a document, it's a large, very expensive thing. I was thinking about purchasing it, but I decided against it. I got it on a CD. Documents illustrative of the formation of the Union of the United States. I haven't read the whole thing, but something to think about. Okay, American history. The colonists were subjects when they came to America. Okay, so we're dealing with America pre-1775. In 1215, there was a document called the Magna Carta, which gave the which authorized some rights of the English people that the king was trying to inflict his tyranny against. Magna Carta. How many of you ever heard of the Magna Carta? Okay, now that's some of the founding documents. And then in 1689, you have what's called the English Bill of Rights. Okay, and I have a lot of these in that book of mine, The Faith and Freedom. Okay, in 1620, you have the Mayflower Compact. And these people said, in the name of God, amen, we whose names are unwritten, the loyal subjects of our dreaded sovereign Lord King James. Okay, so let's say the Pilgrims, 1620 to 1775, December 31st. From 1620 to 1775, the last day of the year, everybody living in America were subjects under the King of England. Okay? Agreed on that? We're subjects. They admitted that. They said that in their document. We're subjects. What's that mean? That means if the king decrees something and it does not violate our conscience with our God, then we are to obey. Obey the powers that be, Romans 13. That's from 1620 to 1775, at the end of 1775. And there's a reason why I said 1775. Okay, during that time period, anybody that had some grievances against King at this time, King George, then the only Bible solution they had was to redress their grievances. Write him a letter, please, please. This has caused us great harm. And almost in all cases, it's always taxes. Almost all the time. Man, the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, I just got this book recently, something about the dreaded taxes. And I first saw this in Nico's library in Switzerland. And I saw a thing and forgot about it. And I said, oh, I got to get that thing again. I saw it on the internet, so I quick grabbed the thing. Okay, and I just got it. Okay, so taxes is basically where people really start doing something, which is really not the time to do it. It ought to be your conscience. Our motive behind these things ought to be our conscience. Like Daniel 1:8, he said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So what did Daniel do? He redressed his grievances to Melzar, and in his case, praise the Lord, Melzar allowed it to go through. That's the Christian way to do it. Okay, so the colonists were subjects under the king. The First Continental Congress of October 1774 said this. I'm not reading the whole thing, but here's what they said. The inhabitants of the English colonies in North America, by the immutable laws of nature, the principles of English Constitution, and several charters or compacts, have the following rights. Okay, so they're relying on the English common law. And they said that the respective colonies are entitled to the common law of England. The common law. Jeremy, would you go in there and get statute book number 1121, where it gives a hierarchy of your law in Indiana? The common law of England. Common law is still in effect. They cannot change that. It is the highest lawful jurisdiction in our country, even though they're trying to change as much as they can. Okay, it says resolve number 2, that our ancestors who first settled these colonies were entitled to all rights, liberties, and immunities of free and natural-born subjects within the realm of England. Notice the word subjects. That is true. That is true. Okay, and what a lot of people didn't realize that in the founding of America, we had a great revival. I don't believe there was a revolution. Not a rebelling against the established authority. And I'll explain why as we come down through. Okay, also in this grievance of 1774, and this is why they will not discuss this in the public schools, this act was passed in the same session establishing the Roman Catholic religion in the province of Quebec, abolishing the equitable system of English laws and erecting a tyranny there to the great danger and the neighboring British colonies. The Americans were so afraid because England encouraged Catholic Church to take control of Quebec, just north of us, coming down to conquer more colonies. They knew about the Catholic Church. That's why our people fled here, because of the Catholic Church. Okay, and so that's why that's said. In July of 1775, the colonies, or the representatives for the colonies, had a declaration of the causes and necessities of taking up arms. And so now they're arming themselves. Do you know where they kept the weapons, many of them? In church. That's where they kept, that's where they had the books for the laws and the studies. That's where they had the weapons, in the church. And King George said, I want to destroy that Presbyterian rebellion. He wanted to kill the men in the black robes, because the men back in those days, the preachers, they wore that when they preached. Okay, so that was July of 1775. In August of 1775, King George declared a proclamation, thank you, proclamation that the colonies were in rebellion. Okay, and then the colonies responded to that. At this same time, we had the Great Awakening going on through America. Remember the Great Awakening with George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards. If we had a Great Awakening in our country, how would a Great Awakening produce a bunch of rebellious Americans to go against the established authority? Disobeying Romans 13. There's got to be something that takes those two contradictory thoughts and puts them together if we understand real history. Okay, this is Indiana Code Book. Okay, I'll explain a little bit about this later. 1-1-2-1, Hierarchy of Law in Indiana. Number one, the Constitution of the United States and this state. Number two, all statutes of General Assembly of the state enforced and not consistent with such constitutions. Number three, all statutes of the United States enforced and relating to subjects over which Congress has power to legislate for the states and not inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States. Number four, the common law of England. And statutes of the British Parliament made in aid thereof prior to the fourth year of the reign of James I. Good old King James. Now, when I was in court and I was asking the judge who my plaintiff was, the state of Indiana, and after he read me the charges and I didn't understand, I could never understand, he said, "What don't you understand, Mr. Hoffman?" I said, "Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Who's the plaintiff?" He said, "The state of Indiana." I said, "Is that a republic or a corporation?" "Mr. Hoffman, it doesn't matter." "It do to me." And then he sidestepped the issue and went someplace else. Next time I was in court, I asked the question. I said, "Judge, the code isn't law." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Read it. The hierarchy of law in Indiana is right there, and the code's not mentioned. Why am I charged with the code?" And we had a discussion for about 5 minutes. I looked over at the prosecutor, and she was lost, and I had a brief minute of second of felt sorry for her, but that didn't last long. Okay? But the code doesn't say the code is law. And they're always going to charge you with a code violation. Why? Because state of Indiana is a corporation. And I'll show you that counterfeit a little bit later. Now, what do you do about it? I don't know what you do about it in some cases. Okay, so now America, from 1620 to December 31st of 1775, every person in America was a subject to the British crown. And according to the Bible, they were to redress their grievances to their authority, which is what they were doing. Time and time again, Ben Franklin, John Adams, Samuel Adams. I bet you he's rolling over his grave. He's got a beer named after him now. Okay? They were kept going to the king. "Please, king, these taxes are tearing us up. You don't have any right to do it, and you know you don't. The English Constitution doesn't allow this. Parliament doesn't have the right. Please, back off." And they would never do it. Okay. In about October of 1775, the king issued what was known as the Prohibitory Act. The public schools will not tell you anything about it. I had a hard time finding this thing, Prohibitory Act. This thing was signed into law in December of 1775. It came into effect January 1, 1776. It did not reach the colonies until February 27th is when Continental Congress finally became aware of what was known as the Prohibitory Act. After reading this act, John Adams wrote a friend and he said this, "I know not whether you have seen the Act of Parliament called the Restraining Act or Prohibitory Act or Piratical Act or Plundering Act or the Act of Independency. For by all of these titles it is called, I think the most apposite is the Act of Independency or Independency, for the king, for king, lords, and commons have united in sundering this country from that, I think, forever. It is a complete dismemberment of the British Empire. It throws the 13 colonies out of royal protection, levels all distinctions, and makes us independent in spite of our supplications and entreaties." After reading that act, John Adams is basically saying they're not listening to us. The king has had the Prohibitory Act. He has voluntarily thrown us off. And he has hired German mercenaries to come attack us. So now, January 1 until July 3rd, 1776, America became a people without a king. They were like Israel became a nation when we left Egypt, where they were a nation without a land. So now we have January 1 to 1776 through July 3, 1776,
We have a people without a king. What do? In May 6, 1776, a convention was held at Williamsburg, Virginia. And if you ever get a chance, go to Williamsburg, Virginia, please do it. Great historical place to go to. Okay? You might see Patrick Henry there. When I was there, he was there. Obviously an actor of Patrick Henry. And I amened his speech on several occasions, but boy, people were quiet. Boy, what he said was great. Okay, now, at this convention, there was a paper found that had the handwriting of Patrick Henry on it. Patrick Henry would have been my kind of guy, anti-federalist. That's the kind of guy I would have been. Okay, he wrote this: as the humble petitions of the Continental Congress have been rejected and treated with contempt, that's redress of grievances, all that's been rejected, as the Parliament of Great Britain, so far from showing any disposition to redress our grievances, have lately passed an act approving of the ravages that have been committed upon our coast. And as the King of Great Britain, by a long series of oppressive acts, has proved himself the tyrant instead of the protector of this people, we, the representatives of the colony of Virginia, do declare that we hold ourselves absolved of our allegiance to the crown of Great Britain and obliged by the internal laws of self-preservation to preserve such measures as may conduce to the good and happiness of the United Colonies. What is he saying? King's dumped us. We're dumped. We're out. We're it. We're independent. We better build up the guns because self-defense. The Bible does not go against self-defense. So now we have January 1 to July 3, 1776, we have a nation that has no king, no governing authority, no established governing authority at all. On May 14th, okay, the unanimous resolutions was passed, and it says this: by a late act, prohibitory act, all these colonies are declared to be in rebellion and out of the protection of British crown, are properties subject to confiscation. Now, when you know about the Prohibitory Act, when you read the Declaration of Independence, it will become more clear to you. It's a confusing document if you don't know the background of it. And Thomas Jefferson wrote in there that these United Colonies are of right, ought to be free and independent states, and that they are absolved from all allegiance to British crown. And then he writes in here about how he hired German mercenaries to attack us. Okay, from January 1 to July 3, America was a people without a king. July 4, Declaration of Independence. Now, what did that do for every person in the United States of America? That made you equal footing with the King of England. You be the king. Now, you don't have the subjects that he's got. But every person, the people politic in America at that time were equal with the king. Now, obviously they had a war to have to prove that fact, and they had a war to act like this is our land and we're going to protect it. Okay, in the Paris Peace Treaty of 1783 is when the king admitted that. He got whooped. His soldiers got whooped. So Article 1 of the Paris Peace Treaty, 1783, His Britannic Majesty acknowledges the said United States to be free and sovereign and independent states. Maine was a nation all its own. Rhode Island was a nation all its own. Connecticut was a nation all its own. Pennsylvania was a nation all its own. It's a 13 united with a little U, capital S, states. Like if you go in Europe now, you've got Germany, you know, and the Netherlands, individual nations. That's where America still is, if we understand that. Article 7, the king said, I didn't finish reading this one. Okay, to be free and independent states, that he treats with them as such, and for himself as heirs and successors, relinquishes all claims to the government, property, and territorial rights of the same and every part thereof. So every right that the king had for all the land in England, because the king owns all the land in England, that was given over to the people. by his admission in this Paris Peace Treaty. Now notice the very, very precise words. Article 7 of this treaty says, "There shall be a firm and perpetual peace between the Britannic Majesty and the said states, and between the subjects of one and the citizens of the other." Which is which? The subjects of Britain and the citizens of the United States. It's a step up because we're equal now with the king. Article 8. "The navigation of the river Mississippi shall forever remain free and open to the subjects of Great Britain and the citizens of the United States." And so they understand that. Okay, now, July 4th, 1776, every free white male, technically, became equal with the king. If you read our laws, the way they were laid out and everything. But you can say everybody in America became equal with the king, sovereign in their own right. Okay, and then as each state developed their own particular constitution. Now, what is a constitution? It is, in essence, the job description of the political officials. Now, in order for us, the people, to create the Constitution, does that mean we are not higher than the Constitution? We are the creators of the Constitution. Hence, we are higher, and our creation of the Constitution is something to limit somebody who is lower than us. Is that not right? Is that not logical? So we have in our country God, and the motto of the, you know, if you call it the Revolutionary War, the motto was "No king but King Jesus." So God's here, the people's next. The people decided of their own free accord for a constitution of their states. They delegated certain obligations or rules to representatives. Now, does that mean the people has relinquished all those things? No. It's like, I got a lawnmower and I asked Luke to mow the lawn. You know, basically here at Ashley, and so they've been delegated to mow the lawn. You know, the rules are certain things. Filled up with gas? No. Okay, certain things. Now, if I want to mow the lawn, I just go and get it. I haven't given up my right. So that's why we run our own juries on occasions. Because we have that right. It's a constitutional jury. Okay, now the Delaware Constitution, Article number 22, I failed to have this right in front of me, but basically it says that anybody who wants to run for office has to have a public declaration that they believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and that the Scriptures were inspired of God. Article 22, Delaware Constitution. You'll find that in Holy Trinity versus United States, 1892 case. Okay, and that's probably about maybe a 15-page Supreme Court case. We have copies of them. I would encourage you to read that. It's not. You can understand it with not much problem. The parts you don't understand, just skip and go to where you understand. That's what I do. Or I try to weed through it and try to figure it out. Read it slow. But you read some of them old court cases. Oh man, you got some fantastic reading, especially that George Wilson case. I've used that as an illustration. Remember the guy named George Wilson who stole the mail from somebody, and he was given the death sentence, and then he was pardoned by Andrew Jackson, and he rejected a pardon, and it went to the Supreme Court, and they didn't know what to do with this guy. He rejected a pardon. The Supreme Court said a pardon is a means of grace, and if he don't accept the pardon, we have to execute him. Man, that's a 4-page case. Man, great illustration. You know, I gave that one down at the court, down at a jail in Danville, and you could see these guys' eyes. I said, if any of you had a pardon, would you take it? They go, yeah. I said, well, here's a guy that wouldn't take a pardon. Isn't he an idiot? Yeah. I said, how about you? Are you saved? Jesus Christ has offered you a pardon. Boy, that really hits pay dirt. That's a Supreme Court case. Okay, now, that Church of the Holy Trinity versus U.S., if you want a copy of that, just see Brother Garcia and we'll get you a copy. Was cited by the Supreme Court in 1989. So that's a verification that our country is a Christian nation. That's what they said. And they cited several things. Okay, now, what is a constitution? It becomes a compact or a contract between people and the governing authorities. Chisholm versus Georgia. It's an old Supreme Court case. They said this: "We see the people acting as sovereigns of the whole country, and in the language of sovereignty, establishing a constitution by which it was their will that the state government should be bound and to which the state constitution should be made to conform. Every state constitution is a compact made between, by and between the citizens of a state to govern themselves in a certain manner, and the Constitution of the United States is likewise a compact made by the people of the United States to govern themselves as general objects in a certain manner." Okay, another Supreme Court case. "The Constitution of the United States was ordained and established not by the states in their sovereign capacities, but by emphatically as a preamble the Constitution declares by the people of the United States." Another case, Yickhoe versus Hopkins. "Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law." Ain't that something? "For it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people." Now, I'll give you a modern example of that, where the people overruled government authorities. Two of them. Remember when CBs were supposed to be licensed? Remember when they had CB radios and they passed all these, you have to have a license, you got to go to the license, you got to get a license, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the threats, you're going to be fined, blah, 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 blah. And the average trucker is pretty independent-minded. How many of them got licenses? Not too many. The lawbreakers. Terrible. And so it got to the point where the bureaucrats were saying, "Would you please come and get a license?" And finally they gave up. Who prevailed? The people. Tim was telling me up in Alaska. Alaska is probably the last great pioneer place. Tim Johnson said they had a law that they passed up in Alaska because during the 30 degrees below weather, that is the only time where the exhaust doesn't dissipate. And so they passed a law that you have to have your lights on at all times, just because of about 2 weeks out of the year. And the Alaskans say, "We ain't turning our lights on all the time. In fact, we're turning them off at night." And a bunch of them start driving around without their lights on at nighttime. Of course, when you got sunlight that long, they're not. And eventually, the bureaucrats gave up. Why? The people prevailed. Now, where you can really prevail is if you're a jury member. Do you realize as a jury member, you can not only try the facts of the case, but you could try the law of the case? Boy, wouldn't that be great. Yes, but you have that power. You have that power. Now, I wouldn't suggest it to the other ones. I'd just have a hung jury. You know, because if you start telling other jury members, they'll charge you with tampering with the jury, even though the judge does it all the time. Yes, that's right. But if you get on a jury, I would encourage you to try to get on a jury. Okay, but Indiana wasn't a state. So who is the governing authorities? Okay, question. Who is the governing authorities or the law in America from July 4th until the Constitution of the United States was ratified? 1787. It was the people. There was no Constitution of the United States or Constitution for the United States. That's a better way to say it. Okay? And so is the people, lawful citizens. So, but what about Indiana? What were people doing in Indiana at that time? We had no government per structure. What was the highest lawful authority over Indiana after 1787? A document known as the Northwest Ordinance. Remember hearing that document in school? Northwest Ordinance. That document is what Abraham Lincoln used to try to overthrow the idea of slavery in 1860s. He used Article number 7, where it says, "There shall neither slavery nor involuntary servitude in the said territory otherwise than in the punishment of crimes." Now, this document is still a prevailing document in our country, in our state. Article 3 says, "Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged." In other words, religion should be taught in the schools. That's what the highest lawful authority says. And then it says we are to have a common law jurisdiction. And it says we are to have civil and religious liberties of these republics. And then so forth and so on. Okay, now here we come along. Once you have liberty, it's kind of tough. Mosquitoes fly along. You got parasites that always want to try to attack somebody who's free. And so here we come along, 1860. Dishonest Abe comes along. Read his first inaugural address, and you'll see that he is as good as Slick Willie. Now, was Abe Lincoln saved? I don't know. I would probably guess he might have gotten saved after his son died when he was in office, about 1864. Okay, but prior to that, he was a humanist, an atheist, and he openly made fun of Christians. Abraham Lincoln did. A guy named Manette wrote about that. Now, what Abraham Lincoln did, or a result of him and the 39th Congress, they helped establish a counterfeit constitution. Okay, so what you have in your hand, if you have it, is an example of counterfeit things that look like the real. If you look at most of your documents, like driver's licenses, tax forms, it will have a little check mark there, and it says, I am a U.S. citizen. Check. Most people check. If you read the definition of a U.S. citizen, you could not check that. A U.S. citizen, according to the IRS code, is a person who lives in Puerto Rico and in the 10-mile square United States, which is Washington, D.C., and nobody else, and is a federal employee. That's a U.S. citizen. Okay, now here, number one, citizen. Number one, on the appearance of truth, subject or U.S. citizen. Now, the U.S. citizen, I have defined in a couple things if you want to read it and actually see what it says. You say, what would you do if you saw that? I'd cross out U.S. citizen, I'd put citizen of the state of or Republic of Indiana. That's what I'd do. And then maybe sign it if I chose to sign it, and then put non-assumption on there, or UCC 1-308. And there's a reason why I do that. Okay, number two, United States versus United States. See how close they are? United States of America versus United States. United States is defined three different ways in a Supreme Court case called Hovind. It could be all 50 states together. It could be Washington, D.C. by itself. It could be all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and all the territories. So you got to define these terms. Okay, republic versus democracy. What do politicians almost always say today? Always. Say the pledge and you can see that. It's wrong. Number four, Constitution limits the government. Number four, Constitution limits the people. Thank God for Billy Sunday. But when they repealed prohibition, what was wrong, or what was wrong when they first instituted prohibition, and when they made that one of the amendments to the Constitution, is that the Constitution was limiting the people. But that's not the purpose of the Constitution. It's to limit the government. So something happened in there that switched it on us. Instead of the Constitution aiming their limitations upon the government structures, they switched it on us, and now it's limiting us. And that is a sleight of hand. You have the 10 Bill of Rights, and then you have 13 through 27 Bill of, quote, rights or privileges. Okay, look at number seven, common law versus code. This is called the code. Okay? And if you look at our Constitution, it will say, in order for a law to be a law, it must state at the beginning, be it enacted. When you read each of these codes, you'll not find be it enacted. This is not law. This is an NIV. See, when you know the King James issue versus NIV, you could grasp this pretty fast. This is an NIV. Okay? The statute is the real McCoy if it doesn't conflict with the Constitution. Okay, you have, drop down to number 12. Law and color of law. Where did that come from? Okay, you have color of title. How many of you ever looked at your title, certificate of title for your car real close? Certificate of title, it says at the top. Certificate of title, it doesn't say title. That's like saying pitcher of banana. Would you like to eat a pitcher of the banana or the banana? It's a certificate of title. If every person was told when they walked in a Bureau of Motor Vehicles, what you are doing is you're giving your car for collateral, and it will turn into a motor vehicle. And we will charge you for doing this. Have a nice day. And I have to tell myself every time I walked in a BMW is, have a good attitude. Boy, I've lost it on a few occasions. I lost on one case, so it was bad. I had to go back and apologize to the lady. I was so mad. Oh, was it bad. And then one time I was in there trying to get something, and an attorney came in who I saw in a courthouse, and he was trying to get the same thing I was trying to get two years earlier. I was sitting there getting the biggest kick out of this because he was doing the same arguments I was doing. I said, keep trying. It ain't going to work. And then he got out of there and left because it didn't work. I get the biggest chuckle out of that one. Okay, number 13, very important. Trial by jury versus jury trial. If you look in the federal rules, Rule 38 and 39, you'll see the differences. You look at Indiana rules, state rules, Rule 38, 39, ours mirrors are federal, you'll see the differences. A jury trial is an advisory jury to the judge. The judge can overthrow what the jury says. Okay, a trial by jury, the jury is absolutely in charge. That's the one we demand. Now, that's how we got Mr. Don out of his problem over there in Illinois one time. Because we demanded a trial by jury, and here comes the prosecutor, and we talked to her, and I said, we demand a trial by jury, and she said, well, you'll get a jury trial. I said, we didn't demand that. We demanded a trial by jury. I said, that's Rule 38. She saw the same thing. I said, no, they're not, and you know it. And then he went back to him, and then he got the one ticket dropped, so he's pretty happy after that. There's a difference. Now, are you going to get a trial by jury? Probably not, but at least demand it. Number 14, traveling versus driving. 15, car or truck, known in the old days as conveyance versus motor vehicle. 16, guest in my car versus passengers. 17, lawful money of account versus legal tender. Now, that one there, anytime you want, I'll show you the currency I have. That one, if you lay all my currency down from Abraham Lincoln's script, military script, until the gold certificates and the silver certificates and the Federal Reserve notes of 1934, lay them all down, you can see how they snuck this through. I've got 1950s. I've got silver certificates. I got the $5 bill that JFK printed against the Fed. And as soon as JFK was axed down there in Dallas, LBJ's first executive order was to pull all the silver certificates off the market. That's why he got axed. He was fighting the money men. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, dollar of the United States versus Federal Reserve note. Federal Reserve note, I can show you the documents on that. Bill of sale is legal title. Bill of sale. Color of title is your certificate of title. Notice lien versus notice of lien. The IRS never liens anybody. They put a notice of lien on there. We're just notifying you of a lien. Not that we have the lien, it's just notifying you. Now, some people have been successful to get that off lately. De jure versus de facto officer. That'd be a good one to ask a police officer. He wouldn't know what you're talking about. Domicile versus residence. Indiana, the abbreviation for Indiana, versus IN. Now notice the next one. Post office versus postal service. I've got a Supreme Court case on that one where the Supreme Court said that the postal service has abolished the post office. You can't abolish the post office. You can still send a letter, first class mail, 1-ounce letter, for 2 cents. Stamp on the top right, first class mail. Statute 12, bottom left, first class mail. Don't put a return address. I've sent them several times, and a person at the other end often doesn't, most of the time, don't have to pay. That's to the post office. The postal service is 39 cents. I often pay my bills that way. You know, if you get these telephone things where they go automatically addressed, I just put 2 cent stamp, you know, post office, then it gets there. So I was told by my postmaster one time that that wasn't a good thing to do, and I asked him why, and he wouldn't give me the answer. But I'm not telling you, you know, do it. You know, you might experiment, but some folks still get their mail through, what's it called, general delivery? Yeah. I think they get it that way. They got to go down to the post office. Now that one, okay, you have the policemen. What are they? How many remember when they used to be called peace officers? We're really dating ourselves if we remember that. Yeah. Now they're all law enforcement officers. Legal title versus equitable title. Okay, and then the last two. Okay, those are some things to learn in law class. Okay, now Abraham Lincoln issued what was known as a Liber Code. The Liber Code gave instruction for the government of the armies in the field. Section 1 contains over 29 articles governing martial law. Congressman Vallandigham of Ohio referred to Abraham Lincoln as the master dictator. They immediately arrested him, charged him with treason. He was going to execute to hang him, but he was elected an official in Ohio, and the Ohioans intervened for the man, got him out of jail, and rescued the fellow. But if it weren't for those many people, they would have hung him. A boy in New York was distributing newspapers that Abraham Lincoln didn't like was in a newspaper. They arrested the little fellow. A Negro editor, I know that's a word you don't use much more anymore, but a black editor down in Charleston said, Richard Harvey Kane said in 1871, when the smoke and fighting is over, the Negroes have gained nothing and the whites have nothing left, while the jackals have all the booty. And that was from what he said. And that was a very wise man. Very wise man. And who are the jackals? It's Congress. Okay, Abraham Lincoln was the first guy to distribute an executive order. And when Al Gore and Bush during the first election? Al Gore said in the summer before the elections, we know that executive orders can only be enforced in federal territory. Oh, he should not have said that. That's probably why they pulled the plug on him. Because that's only where executive orders can be enforced. Where's federal territory? Oh, well, in Indiana, where? Is there a federal courthouse in Hammond? I think there's one in Lafayette. If you don't want to, if you get charged with a federal offense, just don't go on federal territory. And that's as easy as that. And there's a great Wyoming sheriff that two IRS agents came into his county, and he said any federal agents must report into the sheriff's office, and these two guys didn't, so he put them in shackles, threw them in jail. Amen. That's his right. That is his obligation and his lawful duty. And if we had more sheriffs like that, wonderful. So during the same time in 1881 when the counterfeit Bibles came out. Now isn't that interesting? RSV started coming out in 1881 is when it's done, and we got a counterfeit constitution. And so basically, our understanding of all this, still to this day, if you are a sovereign, then behave as one. And with the sovereign, you have great confidence that you can just go obey the law, obey what you know is right, the common law, obey the word of God. And when a police officer says you can't do that, oh, I can't. Oh, then just keep doing it if it's not unlawful. Now, I would suggest continue to ask him questions, and next week we'll go through that. Okay, so the thing is to be very calm. You say, well, his badge, he's got a badge. I'll show you where you can get a badge. I've got a badge. I had two of them at one time. One said lawful citizen. Nice. Professional-looking badge. Walked in court, had that in my briefcase, lawful citizen. Lady looked at that.
That's what I am. Now, I have a bounty hunter badge, and that's nice to have, too. But the badge doesn't give the authority. And so the way we handle these things is by questions. That's how Jesus handled it. When you ask that question, you answer the question with a question. So next week, I have lots of questions, and next week we'll give you these exact questions, what to ask, and when to bring out your tape recorder. Always have your tape recorder. It's really fun to watch them when you have a tape recorder. Now, I don't suggest to do what my friend of mine that does, but he takes a video camera and walks into an IRS building, whips that thing on, and they all scatter like cockroaches. Now, I don't suggest that. That's like going into the hens, you know, into the rat's nest. But that's what he did. I just suggest I want to obey the law. And if you are going to go against my constitutional rights, then I'm going to ask you some questions to try to get you to understand that I know my rights and I want you to leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Then I'm going to give you a gospel tract because I want you to get saved. And I want you to do the right thing. Come to your Savior. Come to the Savior, Jesus Christ. And if this is what convinced me in many ways why Gene was right in a lot of what he teaches. He's very relaxed. Very relaxed. No nervousness when people come around. Why? He's a sovereign. And so are you. You know what we ought to have? If George Bush came in this town, what would we have? A great big parade, right? Think about it. You're the sovereign. County officials below you. State officials below the county. Federal below you. He's three steps below me. They should throw a parade when I come in town. You're sovereigns. We have a wonderful government, wonderful system we have in our country. And we just need to understand it and stand fast in liberties wherewith Christ has made us free and stand fast in liberties where many of our founding fathers sacrificed their lives. Honest John Hart, the sacrifice he did. Man built a Baptist church, kissed his wife goodbye, 10, 11 children, never saw them again. He was on the hit list. And we're going to worry about losing the things we have when these men sacrificed what they did? You know, we give up too quick. And again, being Bible believers, we want to pray for guidance. We're not saying fight every battle, because if you fight every battle, you'll never end. I can start a fight anytime. Any of us can start a fight anytime. But it's not worth it in a lot of ways. I do not fight the driver's license issue. I have plates on my car. I know people that don't. But to me, I want to fight an issue that's big. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is big. Preaching on the street is big. That's an issue. Just had a street preacher call me last week. He got arrested in New York, is trying to figure out what to do. But this guy's wise. Whenever he preaches, he holds a video camera. But the problem is, I think he was by himself. And they confiscated his video camera's evidence. If they had a second party videotaping him, they couldn't have confiscated theirs. And he helped the people win a case in Pennsylvania because he had his video camera. So, okay, next week we'll get real practical. Real practical. But I just wanted to show you doesn't that make you feel powerful? When we're obeying the law, boy, it's a wonderful thing. But you got to watch out for all them parasites, mosquitoes, and tapeworms out there. There's a bunch of them, aren't there? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the position you've allowed us to be in this thus far in our lives. Help us to understand. And Lord, I thank you for the sacrifices people made for this country. And Lord, oh, so much deception going on now. Lord, help us to know how to choose the right fight. But Lord, we pray that you'd allow us to lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, so we might please you and not be entangled by legal fights. In Jesus' name, amen.